This is East Carolina defense coordinator Blake Harrell, and you're listening to Sports Objective, the official unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
All right, welcome into the Pirate Football Playback right here on the Sports Objective. Pirates with a huge win, baby, 38-35, walk-off fashion as Owen Daffer hits a 54-yard field goal as time expires. Something right out of a movie, man. I'm just so pumped up and fired up after a great win. Ladies and gentlemen, a man that was so excited. He had no emotion. He had ice in his veins. He knew the kick was going to be good. Kyle from LaGrange Barber, how are you, man?
Holy truck. I tell you what, man,
I said that sarcastically
last night. In a way you're sort of right. Not the no emotion part, but I was just convinced that kick wasn't going to be good. And I was preparing myself for overtime mentally. So when it was good, I didn't have the emotional reaction I had the previous week to Memphis. I just, holy crap, he made it. And I was very excited. But it was a different kind of excitement. It was almost like I was in shock. Where the Memphis game was raw emotion, I was in shock after that game. I could not believe he made that kick. And great moment. And, you know, we've had a couple of really nice moments the last couple of weeks. And we'll see if we have another one this week.
Neil, I've said we'll talk more about it. I've called this the November to Remember the Payback Tour. Another one of our foes has gone down, the second time in the history of playing them that we beat them. Same score 10 years ago, 38-35. And let's talk to the numbers man, Bubba Rosenbaum. How are you, man?
Doing well. Got back to Wilson, North Carolina from Annapolis, I guess, about 1:45. We thought we were going to be back, about an hour and a half sooner, but gotten a little bump up at a convenience store. I'm pumping gas when someone rams the front end of our car, backing out. But, as awesome of a day as it was, that cannot dampen, our moods.
You can always get a new car, right, Matt Semenza?
You can, but I tell you, I felt your pain last night, Bubba. I give you credit for making that long drive there and, coming off a huge win and then to get into that kind of situation, not good. But I'm sure you wouldn't trade it for anything. And I'll tell you guys, it was just a crazy game. It's one of those things, like, I almost feel like our fan base is traumatized anytime we hear the word Navy, because we've had so many blowout losses over the years. And you just get the feeling that this team just seems to have our number. And last night I'm saying to myself, if we can just get one stop, if we can get one stop, we can win this game. And then you get the disaster on the kickoff, which leads into the, the 90-yard pitch out touchdown. And you're saying to yourself, we're about to get navied again. And by some miracle, we were able to pull it off. And that's the sign of a team that's really coming together. It was just an incredible team win.
And, you look at this.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was just going to say quickly, you think about this team, and you always hear about the team in November. That's what they're going to remember. You have a famous saying, and the very fact of, guys, I go back to that Marshall game. That Marshall game, we've talked about it a lot, but I was thinking about that after the win last night, thinking about we could have easily be 4-8 this year, 5-7, but that Marshall game is the one that I was just like, that you talk about nerves of steel. ice in their veins. The Pirates come back and we go in a little bit of a tear. And then there's been some close ones in there too that really, I think if I were making a movie, it would be the 1969 John Wayne movie, True Grit. And I would be talking about this team that because this team is tough as nails. It describes our head coach to a T. I think his attitude, I think his attention to detail, his swagger. There's a lot of great things about Coach Mike Houston, and it's really rubbing off the team, on the team, I think.
The way the team plays, you're right, that we are very gritty. We're tough. We have a never-say-die attitude. Holton, what I've seen, he showed it at Marshall, but really since that second half against South Florida, to me, Holton Ahlers has become the Holton Ahlers we all thought he could be, or at least a lot of us thought he could be. And you're talking about grit and determination. It made me think of Holton. And his leadership ability right now is uncanny. You look, before the field goal drive, at the end, the touchdown and the two-point conversion. Think about this, guys. Had he not got that two-point conversion, instead of a situation where we were kicking a 54-yard field goal for a win or either overtime, if we hadn't got that two, we'd have been kicking a 54-yard field goal for a win or a loss. And that's a whole different set of circumstances on Owen Dafford. It's a big difference. So that two-point conversion was huge. So many big plays in the game yesterday. On the last offensive possession for Navy? Our DB.
McMillan?
Really good. Yeah, McMillan with the strip. Well, not the strip, but forcing the incomplete pass there at the end, batting the ball away after the kid looked like he had caught it for Navy. Huge play in the game. You don't get that play there. They're probably kicking a field goal for the win. So I mean, so many little things in that game that made a difference, and just one of those games that I think when you look back at the season, I think this will be a season we all look back on. And it's been a while, guys, since we've had a season where there's games that you want to go back and watch, and there's plays people forget about. What everybody's going to remember is Owen Dafford kicking that field goal, but McMillan with the stop there on third down, forcing Navy to punt. I mean, that was a huge, huge play.
Oh, so good many question. Big plays throughout the game, and Holton 27 out of 32, 405 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions.
How many rushing yards, Bubba?
Holton, I think, had 7 rushes for 46 yards, something like that. Yep. I don't have it in front of me, but and then what a day for Tyler Snead, 5 receptions. Tyler Snead had those 5 catches for, 137 yards and 2 touchdowns, had the big one going toward the bank there that cut it to 35-33, and that was a fourth down play, correct? So
You talking about the Snead touchdown on fourth down?
Yeah,
it was a fourth down play. Yes, sir.
Up in the left slot, and then he faked outside, and
yes, sir.
Holton hit him, and he basically walked in.
That was the tying right touchdown with a 2-point conversion. Yep. So
and then on that 2-point conversion, C.J. Johnson lined up on the right side as the outside receiver and drug all the way across the field and then settled down there. And Holton threw it a little behind him, and C.J. That was an underrated catch. C.J. had, like I said, reached behind him, and then he got hit not long after the ball hit his hand. So that was, even though it didn't look like that hard of a catch, that was not just a routine catch. I mean, it's one he expects to make, but definitely kudos there for him making that catch in that clutch situation. And then you had
– Yeah, also on that play, Bubba, if you watch that play again, it looked like Holton went through his progressions on that play. Exactly. CJ was not his first target on that play.
No doubt. And that's something I know we talked about last night, and just his growth as a quarterback. And you've seen that on a lot of other plays as well. And Keaton Mitchell, he got the bulk of his yards in the first half. He finished with, I'll say it was 94 yards on 18 attempts, but the bulk of those, like I said, came pretty early on. We really struggled to run the football in the second half, and unfortunately the passing game came up big. And we talked about the game Tyler Snead had, Audio Matosho. This is probably his biggest game of his career, at least in terms of receptions and I think yards as well. 7 catches, 90 yards, and some big third down hookups between he and Holton. And then C.J. Johnson didn't have a ton of catches, but 3 catches for 89 yards. You had the big one down the sideline, I think late in the first half, that set up a score. And then you also had the one there late in the game where we were backed up and Holton scrambled to the right and found C.J. behind the defense. If you'd had a chance to see him a little sooner, he probably scores, but still a huge play. And I think either that one or the one late in the first half, one of those went for 54 yards. And he was only targeted 3 times and had those three huge receptions.
You know, guys,
what about Ryan? What were Ryan numbers, Bubba?
Sorry about that. You broke up on it and hear what you said. Ryan Jones had 5 receptions, 42 yards, and then he had that touchdown on a little bit of a delay route over the middle where he lined up in the kind of a wing and, kind of hesitated on the snap and then ran that delay route right in the middle of the field and was wide open.
Yeah.
You guys, go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
I was just going to throw some of you guys that surprised me again, but what I love about this team is how about 4 out of 5 on fourth down, 80%. They were going to come into the game, 70% was their average. And to me, help me on this one. I believe Navy didn't even attempt a fourth down, right?
That's what they said, which does not sound right.
I know
that's what they said after the game.
Interesting.
So what was crazy about that, if you think about it, a good team can take what you do if they do it better. And I feel like that we took that away from Navy. If that's true, I was trying to think back at the – I heard that at the end of the game. And
I was like, Dave, I confirmed it, and I'm looking at the stats right now, and that is true. Navy did not have a fourth down conversion attempt. They were 5 out of 8 on third down. Meanwhile, the Pirates were 6 of 14 on third down, which is a solid number, right at 50%. And we were 4 out of 5 on fourth down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, we took we took something from them because they usually are seems like they're always in fourth down territory, and we took that away from them. So that was something that was a key stat for me that I was really shocked at after the game.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that was because they didn't have to go for fourth down very often.
Well, yeah, that's a. I wasn't going to say that, Kyle, but.
That's a great point. It's a great point. I'll tell you guys, Holton Ahlers, I really think I said this the same thing last week, and I'm going to continue saying it every week. Things changed for him and this offense when he started running more, when he started being more aggressive running. And, last night, Navy really tried to do their best to take him away. And they actually did a pretty good job at it. They were very cautious about the quarterback draw, and they were looking for it. And I think that opened up the slants. It really opened up the slants, and Holton was very decisive and accurate on those slants. And it all stems back to he's given the defense so much more to look at in the last few weeks by running. And you saw it last night it was a critical 4th and 1 towards the end of the game. And we ran the zone read, and Navy's defensive ends crashed down on the running back, and Holton kept it, tucked it, and took off. And that was the one he fumbled. It was kind of a crazy play. Another one of the wacky plays in this game where he fumbled, but he was able to land on it. But it's something we've been screaming for 2 years. Let Holton be Holton. Let him run the ball. And you can see now it's given the defense fits. He's more confident. He's in a better rhythm, and it's opening up other things on the field. So I really think that's the big change when we look at this offense. Why are we more effective recently? I think it's because Holton is being Holton.
With some of the deep balls he threw last night, the deep ball to CJ, the deep ball, a couple of those deep balls to Tyler Snead, and then him pulling it down and running it some, he reminded me a little bit of David Garrard at times yesterday.
we talk about the numbers that Holton had, and after the game, Holton said something that wasn't all that surprising because we had talked about it going into the game and we talked about it during the game. And Kyle, we were discussing at halftime, you know, how East Carolina faces a similar defense in practice, like what we were facing in the game, and because of the familiarity with, you know, Blake Harrell, and then you also have the defense coordinator. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on his name for Navy that came from Kennesaw State as well. So very similar.
Newberry.
Yeah, Coach Newberry, and very similar schemes. And Holton referenced that in the post game, just saying that was one of the things that allowed us to be so successful, is because we were seeing what we see all the time, with pressure coming from a variety of areas and being able to recognize it and knowing where we need to go with the football. So you look at it in the first half, there were 7 total possessions if you throw out the kneel down there at the end of the last 1 or 2 plays for Navy after we scored. 7 possessions, we had 24 of a possible 28 points, and Navy had 3 touchdowns and 3 possessions. So what a tale of two halves it was. And then you had a third quarter where it became more about field position and both defenses were getting stops. You know, we drove down, got there, failed on a 4th down conversion, and then got another stop, got the ball back on the Navy 49, and then were unable to do anything with it. And that was a really critical juncture in the game where we were up 3 and had a chance to extend the lead to double figures and were unable to capitalize.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you capitalize there, probably a completely different ball game altogether. But it was what it was. It was a very – that game, I would imagine, if you weren't an East Carolina or a Navy fan and you were just flipping the channels, if you were just a non-partial spectator, that game was probably – and it was fun to watch for an East Carolina fan. So I would imagine if you were a fan of neither school and you just wanted to watch an entertaining college football game, that was about as entertaining of a game as you could possibly watch.
I don't know how – hey, Matt – I don't know how entertaining it was for me, but you guys, wow, nerve wracking. Definitely.
I don't know. It was nerve wracking. What I'm saying is if you were a Michigan fan and you flipped into that game, I mean, that good God, it was back and forth nonstop.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, Kyle. I had some people reach out to me after that game that aren't big college football fans and commented on that game. Like they were so entertained by the ending. So I think that's a good point. It was just an incredible finish. I mean, the last 7 or 8 minutes of that game were unbelievable. There were so many plays, 10 plays there that could have changed the outcome of that game quickly. So I think that's a good point.
Yeah, and another point. Go ahead, Bubba.
Something else. I'm talking about games or, you know, plays that could have changed the outcome of that game. You know, the decision to go forward on 4th and 2. Rather than kick a chip shot field goal, the game kind of had changed a little bit, but I was still okay with going for it there. Some folks, one of my buddies said that he would have kicked it, and I mean, I guess you could see both sides, but at the same time, you know, later on we did kick it, and it was a closer field goal in that situation as well, and that time. It's a little more clear cut, in my opinion, because that allowed it to. If you had a situation like what happened, where we gave up a 90-yard touchdown run right after that, then all of a sudden we're down 8 instead of down 2 scores.
Yeah, that's a good point, Bubba. And I had no problem with going for it there because we didn't get it, and we put them at the 2-yard line. So, and when you ask a Navy to go 98 yards, it's normally a good thing. So I had no problem with it. And then when we kicked it, I wanted to go for it again, honestly, but you're right. By kicking it, we kept it a 1-score game when they scored a touchdown and got the extra point. It was still an 8-point game on that kickoff return, which I wanted to talk about. That kickoff return, they threw a flag. And not only was it a hold, they tackled him. It was a effing tackle, not even a hold. And they picked up the flag. And I'm going to go ahead, and since we're not Big 12 announcers, we don't work for Texas Tech, I'm going to go ahead and say they blatantly cheated. They picked up that flag. I respect the Naval Academy and those guys as much as anybody. But you can't say, well, hell, that hold didn't affect the play, so let's pick up the flag. I've never seen, and Jeff Charles said the same thing, I've never seen a flag throw for a block in the back or a hold on a kickoff return, and it picked up. And then when they, and sometimes you can't even find the damn hold or the block in the back is chintzy. That was such, it was a tackle. It wasn't even a hold. He took him to the ground. It looked like an MMA takedown. I mean, it was
octagon.
Horrible. And I was pissed and livid. And I'm sure everybody agrees it's all the play. Matt, your thoughts?
I totally agree with you. It was another embarrassing blunder for American Athletic Conference officials. Maybe the worst officials in college football. I will not sugarcoat it. That was atrocious. I've never seen a flag in that situation get picked up. Now, let's think about it. So the officials get together at midfield, and they decide to pick up that flag. What in the world could they have talked about to make them pick that flag up?
I can tell you exactly what they said. Look, man, you don't want to take this away from Navy. This is senior day in Annapolis. That hole didn't affect this play. Let's just pick up the flag. All right. That had to be. What else would have been said? Would have been said?
Right. And if the roles were reversed, let's say it's Tyler Snead.
Oh, they'd have threw two flags.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, but I'm just saying, can you imagine, like, if we had done that, you know, there at Navy, and we'd done that on senior day, and the ref said, you know, it's this ECU team, they're a great story, they haven't beat Navy very much, let's just give them one. You know, I mean, I don't know that they said that, but obviously that was not the case of the way that played out. But most definitely very hurt on that call. I think that when you think about it, it just is frustrating, because we're not talking about rec officials, you know, like ones are getting $25 like at the local Y anything like that. We're talking about Division I football. And I know that Bubba and I've talked about this before. Think about it. We have coaches that are getting fired left and right. These officials matter. The problem is when they make these terrible calls, they become bigger than the game. And that and what's bad about that situation is there's a lot of games we've had this year. We are so close to wins. And Matt, you know, and Bubba knows, playing the game, that it's really hard to win. Even if you're a great team, it's hard to win. And we're so close every single week now. We're very competitive in every game. One little play like that that the refs may not think makes a difference. A bad holding call or a bad pass interference call or targeting call and kick one of, you know, McMillan or one of the DBs out, hey, that could cost us a game. So when people say, I'm not trying to beat up the refs, I'm just trying to make a point that just like with playing like a player, you've got to make sure that you're focused on every single play. You can't take a play off. These officials can't take a play off, but they're doing it. They're taking plays off.
No, I didn't take a playoff. They totally knew what they were doing. They threw a flag and look, that was ridiculous. And I was so angry. You guys all know how angry I was.
Nothing ever happens to them.
No, and it won't again. And you know, that's at that point, I said, screw this. I don't want to ever play Navy again. I don't want to play in this conference anymore. Let's go to the Sun Belt. I mean, I was so mad at that moment. Oh my God, I was mad. Because that could have cost us the ball game. It almost did. It almost did cost us the ball game.
And Kyle, I'll take it even a step further. You know, listen, I love the Naval Academy. This is not an indictment on the. I love them. I'm a big fan of all our armed forces. But as it relates to football, Navy has this reputation of being incredibly disciplined. Right? You always hear about this. They're disciplined. They're tough, and they are. But I think what you see as a result is they get away with a lot of terrible calls on the football field. It's almost as if refs are a little biased. You know,
they are.
They don't want to throw the flag against Navy. And
they are.
Conversely, when it's East Carolina, they're throwing the damn flag no matter what. And they'll cost us games just like we saw against Tulsa last year. So, you know what? if I'm our athletic director, man, Gilbert, I am on the phone again with the American Conference, and I'm ripping them a new one because this is unacceptable.
I'll tell Mike Oresco, I'll say, look, you either handle this crap or we're going to the Sun Belt.
Yeah, because it gets me fired up, man. How many times can these AAC officials screw up an East Carolina game? They need to get their head out of their ass. I'm just going to say it. I mean,
do you remember back in the day when we were in Conference USA and we used to always complain about Conference USA officials? I think when we were in the Conference USA, those officials back then are better than the AAC officials we have now.
It doesn't make any sense. If we're going to continue to call ourselves the Power Six Conference and we're going to say we're the best group of five conference, then we need to have Power Six officiating. Exactly. And you wait, boys and girls, or in this case, just boys. Maybe there's some girls watching. But you wait. This Friday, live in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium, as the Cincinnati Bearcats are trying to make the college football playoff. It's going to be Navy all over again. They're going to throw every flag towards us, call everything Cincinnati's way. The only thing that may help us is you're going to have I won't say 50,000 because it ain't going to be 50,000 in there, but you're going to have a packed Dowdy Ficklin Stadium that's going to be loud and rowdy. And so hopefully that'll help neutralize the official some, because when you got several thousand people yelling at you, it's kind of hard to make blatant bad calls.
Oh, they still do it anyway, but I agree. But that, Matt, hopefully we'll have you at the game tailgating. And guys, I'm telling you something right now. I've heard some volunteers we have at work saying, you know, they've gone to all the games and it's Thanksgiving. Look, let me tell you something. In the 90s, we would go eat turkey like Kyle talked about on Pirate Radio last night with the fifth quarter. Look, eat your turkey on Thursday. And if you have to fly back, if you have to thumb, you have to hitchhike, whatever you have to do to get back for Friday at 3:30, there's no excuses. There's no excuses whatsoever. The last home game of the season. And guess what? We've made another milestone, guys. We've been almost 28 minutes into the show. Thank God we have a winning season. We can say we're not, even with two straight losses, if that were to happen, God forbid, we still are going to have a winning season. As I was telling Kyle earlier today, getting ready for the show at lunchtime, I was talking about how we're playing. We talk about it all the time on the show. We're playing with house money each and every week. This team is getting better. So why not go out and support the Pirates? And like you said, Kyle, if people can't make the game, give your tickets away. Give your tickets away to people. I was just going to say quickly, I've got a coworker, a buddy of mine that goes to me to games, but I've got a coworker that hasn't been to a game. He's only been to one Pirate game. And I told him again today, I said, hey, man, you're going with me to game, right? He said, yeah, he has nothing to do on Friday. He's off. I'm off. And so I'm like, I'll pick you up at the wherever. I won't say so that he won't be towed away, but wherever he parks his car, I'm going to pick him up, take him to the stadium. We're going to tailgate. We'll have Matt Semenza there, Bubba, Kyle. We're all going to be there. That 3:30 time is a beautiful time. It's everybody's favorite. You always hear people complain about what time a game is.
Actually, 3:30 is my least favorite because you miss part of the early games and you miss part of the late games. So I'd rather have a 12 o'clock kickoff or 7 o'clock kickoff. But with that said, you have plenty of time to get there. You have plenty of time to get home. Yep. It's ABC prime time. Like I said on Pirate Radio, look, this is an opportunity. If we pull this upset off, this will be the highest ranked team East Carolina has ever beaten. You want to be there. You want to be a part of it, because what you're going to do 10 years from now, you're going to lie. You got 1-800-ECU for tickets. It's live on ABC. Get your tickets right now. We got a special plan going on. You get $60. We'll get you four tickets to the game, plus four tickets to the Coppin State basketball game, plus four tickets to the ladies basketball game all next weekend. So get your tickets now, 1-800-ECU, and of course, individual tickets still available. But if you're not there 10 years from now, if we pull that upset, you're going to tell everybody you were. So you might as well really be there and storm the field and be a part of history if we pull this off. Even if it doesn't happen, even if we don't pull the upset, you're gonna get to see the Pirates take on one of the best teams in the country, a team that if they beat us and win the championship game, may make the college football playoffs. So either way, you want to be there and you want to be a part of this. And if we do the impossible, guys, I mean, good God almighty, the top five football team, a win over a top five football team, is down as this program has been to win eight games with an opportunity to win nine, but to beat a top five football team, you talk about just making a statement with the world watching on ABC as we lead into North Carolina and North Carolina State at 7 p.m. And you talk about, we would be the top story in sports. That would be the top story on SportsCenter. Yep. It'd be the top story on, you know, all the sports websites. The top story this Friday, if we win that football game, will be East Carolina upset Cincinnati. Hell, we'd lead SportsCenter. I'm telling you right now, you don't want to miss it.
Yeah. Oh, there's no question about it. You look at that game, and you're thinking about where, like you said, Kyle, where we were 100, we were dead last when Mike Houston took that job. Dead last. We had no choice but to go up. We're climbing the ladder. We have a chance to be a top 25 team at the end of the season. Most certainly we have a lot to play for this year, but just think about all that we're getting back next year. We've got a lot of young players right now. I'm telling you right now, if you this is one of the best things that could happen to this program is for a whole bunch of people to show up. We get the win. Can you think about football, as Dave Hart was saying a few years ago about getting football healthy, there's nothing better. Talk about a shot in the arm for selling bowl tickets, season tickets for next year. I mean, everything about it, Pirate Club donations going up. There's nothing better that can help this program than a whole bunch of people showing up. We'll do our part, and hopefully the athletes on the field, they can do their part, and together we can get a win on Friday at 3:30.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean,
and I'll tell you guys, for the students, the perspective of the students, I think our student section has been great all year. I really do. I think they've done a really good job. Get your turkey in on Thursday. If you live within 3 hours, if you're a student, you need to come back to campus and be at that game. Because really, what more do you want as a student? You know, it's not going to get really better than this at Dowdy-Ficklin. Find a way to get there and pack the stadium.
And bring your mom or daddy with you. Go take your daddy. Maybe your daddy's an NFL fan or whatever. And you tell him, hey, you know, East Carolina, you know, we got seven wins. We're going to a bowl. You know, we're playing the top five team in the country this weekend. And all of a sudden, Pops or Uncle Leroy or whoever that's there at the house with you may go, oh, hell, I'd like to go to that. And then you tell them, well, I'm going back to Greenville tomorrow. Come on, Pops. Bring somebody with you. Bring a friend. Bring a family member. Just let's fill this thing up. Get as many people in there as possible. Let's make it as hostile as we can on the Cincinnati Bearcats. And, you know, I think, you know, this is no need for this extra motivation. And then we'll get back to the Navy game because we do need to talk about this past game a little bit more. But I know a lot of people, you know, maybe want the added motivation. So I'll bring it up because Dave's been talking about it for a damn year now. So I'll bring it up. The fake punt, maybe some people are still mad about that. And, you know, there was, you know, Coach Houston. Hey, you know, I don't think it was anything egregious. What word am I looking for? But egregious. That's it. Egregious. I don't think it was anything that bad. But a lot of people do. So there's even more motivation. Not that you need any more motivation. If you can't get motivated after the last 2 weeks of East Carolina football to play the number 2, 3, or 5 team in the country, then your wood might be wet.
It's funny about this matchup, like you said, with we'll get back to Navy in just a second, but Cincinnati, and we obviously have our Bubba. I know we have our preview coming up on Tuesday night. He's been working hard behind the scenes. We're going to have a killer preview, guys, in just a couple days on Tuesday night. But anyway, we are looking at a situation right now where, imagine?
Hold on, Dave. Hold on 1 second. I hate to interrupt you. Matt, what am I looking at behind you? What is that? Is that when you were a basketball all-star? Is that a basketball? You know, is that when that you won statue? The NBA MVP? Yeah.
This is just a tribute to basketball, brother. It's just a little statue. I thought it would be nice in the background, you know, to break up the wooden panel door.
All right. Well, I mean, you clear from chatting with you, you don't get into pirate basketball. So are you strictly an NBA guy?
No, believe it or not, I watch pirate basketball a lot. I love college basketball. I love the NBA.
Okay. You know,
I love my Knicks more than anything. I love my Knicks. They're right there with ECU. So,
okay,
it's 1A and 1B.
Okay,
there you go.
Now back to East Carolina. I just had to ask what I was looking at there.
Yeah, no doubt. Matt was he won a high school championship and he did the hook shot to win it. So, exactly. He did it to win it, and sounds good anyway.
My 20-inch vertical didn't help me in basketball too much.
Matt, what was your reaction when he made that field goal yesterday?
Listen, I'll be honest. I gave it about a 5% chance. I mean, it's not a slap in the face to Daffer. I mean, he seems like a great kid, but he just hasn't shown it this year. You know,
he hasn't
shown it. So you're thinking to yourself, wow, I mean, there's just no chance. I mean, but not only did he show confidence, he stepped up and he drilled it. And that thing was right down Main Street and it would have been good from 60. What a job. What a job by that kid, a young kid, to be able to step up in that situation and drill that field goal. So I was just happy for him and the whole team. But, yeah, I'll be honest. I did not think it was going in.
Yeah, me neither. I'll tell you a couple of interesting things post-game about Owen's kick. One, Pirate fans maybe need to keep this in mind when he's kicking in the future. Owen said he liked the noise. He said the Navy people, you know, fans were being loud. He said he likes the noise. So I remember that if he's got a big kick at Dowdy Ficklin, everybody typically gets quiet. You might want to make some noise. Two, Coach Houston, after the penalty, wanted to throw a Hail Mary, and Holton talked him into letting Owen try to kick it. So that's very interesting that they asked Holton, Jeff Charles asked Holton, why did he have confidence in Owen that was going to make it? He said he sees Owen all the time out there on the practice field at his own time, kicking field goals on his own. So he knew he was getting better and he works hard. And
Bubba, was the wind blowing in that direction?
Do what now?
I'm curious if, because Bubba was in a stadium, if the wind was blowing in a favorable direction.
They said the wind was dead at that time. Bubba, was there any breeze blowing that direction?
If it was, it was very slight. It wasn't a situation where, you know, there was an extreme wind that added several yards to that kick. No, he just nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Bubba, did you storm the field, Bubba?
Oh yeah, I was doing my best to get locked up.
I thought you were. And, I thought I saw you hanging on the goalpost last night.
Yeah.
Did you streak another? The field?
I was able to. I managed to keep my clothes on.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I don't believe the Navy Marine Corps Stadium is the best place to decide to be a coming streaker.
Yeah.
Well,
but I wanted to bring up something that a lot of people have talked about, and I can't believe we've gone this far without talking about the clock management at the end of the fourth quarter. Was atrocious. Now, I will say this. Holton said he was supposed to take a knee there, and he looked to the sideline and thought Houston had called a timeout.
Clock it.
Like it.
Yeah, take a knee. Jesus Christ. Yeah, he thought he was supposed to clock it, and he looked to the sideline and thought Houston had called timeout. So he said that was on him. That
makes more sense.
I'm still going to put that on Houston because at that point, then Houston needs to call a damn timeout. If he sees Holton not clocking it, then you need to call timeout. But at least we know what happened there and why we ended up in that situation. It is what it is, but it was very frustrating.
And then
I know, Matt, you didn't like the play call before that where we ran the ball. I didn't have a problem with it because I thought we could catch him off guard with it. And Keaton has such speed. If we would have called him off guard, he could have housed it. So I didn't mind that play call. I would have probably ran him outside. I wouldn't have ran him inside. But I think the thought there was outside run play takes longer time to develop, and you potentially could lose yardage on it. Whereas, you know, running it up the middle, it was kind of going to be what it was going to be. It was either going to work or it wasn't.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, I just – I don't want to be too critical in a win, but that I really thought we botched that last 30 seconds. And I don't know. Like, from my, I'll tell you from my perspective, right? So what I'm thinking is 33 seconds left right there. If you're to kick a field goal, it's a 50-yard field goal, right? When that ball's on the 33-yard line, yeah. Which seemed to be out of Daffer's range. So what I'm thinking to myself is, let's line up. Let's try to throw the ball. And what you could try to do is you could either try to hit one over the middle. At worst situation, you know, Holton was on fire. I don't think we were really in any danger of interception. It might be an incomplete pass, which stops the clock. Or you could try to hit one along the sideline, some type of an out route, and get out of bounds. But let's say you complete a pass over the middle. Now you can run up. Let's say you're on the 25-yard line or so. Now you can run up. You can clock it. And maybe you have about 25 seconds left with two plays and a timeout before you have to kick a field goal, is what I'm saying. So now you're in business where you're potentially at the 25-yard line with a timeout at hand, and you could still run another one, maybe two plays to try to even get it inside the 20-yard line potentially. That is what I think most coaches would want to do. Again, I don't know what happened of it. I don't want to be too critical, but I think we botched it. We actually went backwards, and I know that's not how we drew it up, but yeah. I think if we were to do it again, I think that's probably what we would try to do.
It sounds to me like we were supposed to run it and then clock it, and then Holton didn't clock it. And, you know, I don't know what we were going to run after that. I'm assuming another play. But we ended up having to try Lark field goal. And, hey, here's something else that I will bring up that I brought up to one of you guys.
Yeah, it was me.
What if what you wanted to do, Matt, had happened, and now we got it at the 25 or the 24, and now Owen is kicking a kick that he is expected to make, and he's comfortable with it. Now you got a young kicker kicking a kick that he will put pressure on himself. Owen put no pressure on himself for that kick, no, because he didn't think he's going to make it neither than anybody else. So there was absolutely no pressure on. There was no pressure on him. Whereas if he's kicking a shorter kick, yes, there's a higher likelihood he makes it, but he's also going to put pressure on himself. Whereas, you know, I guarantee this, and I hope I'm wrong, the next time he has a chance to kick a long kick, he'll put pressure all over himself because he knows he can do it now, where it right. sounds counterintuitive. It sounds like, well, if you know you can do it, you should have confidence. But sometimes when you know you can do something and you start thinking about it and whereas this one, where it was, there was no pressure. There was absolutely no pressure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, coach told him not to overkick it. That's what could happen if it's like a 37-yard or a 39, like a shade under 40. He can make those all days long, and maybe he overkicks it. It kicks it, you know, where it's wide left, wide right. You know, it's a little short. It gets blocked. There's all kinds of things that could happen. But the good news, it didn't. And the main thing is we won the game. Even if it's 1 point over Navy, I'm tickled to death. A win is a win is a win. And, you know, hey, this game is a like ever since that third game of the year, there's been a building blocks, you know, like over and over and over. Maybe even you could argue the South Carolina game, the second game of the year. And that's the great thing. This team is getting better. They haven't peaked yet. This is not their ceiling. I think there's some more left to do, unfinished business left for this team. And that's why I think this is a dangerous game for Cincinnati this week. Cincinnati is going to be extremely tight this week. I really do. And I think East Carolina, nobody think you can make the field goal. Nobody outside of maybe our fan base thinks that most people don't think Cincinnati's going to lose the game. They've already put a W in the win column for them. And who knows? Anything can happen, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that mostly. I do think there will be some talking heads this week that'll put up in this game a little bit. With East Carolina on a win streak and Cincy coming to town and being on ABC, there'll be some people pumping this game and watch out for East Carolina and their dangerous team and Holton Ahlers this and the defense that. So, yeah, I do think some national people will be bullish on the Pirates this week. But I will say this. Oregon lost this week. Cincinnati will probably be in the playoffs now. They'll probably be picked. They'll probably be ranked number four. Huh?
Right, write it down. Michigan's going to leapfrog them. You watch it. You watch.
Well, I got. It's possible, but I'm gonna say Cincy's going to be number four, okay. and they're going to be thinking in their heads. I'm going to put it like this: they beat SMU this week, and they look good doing it. And it's the first time they've looked really good in several weeks. And here's why: they knew SMU could beat them, and they knew they just needed to win the game, so they were concentrating on winning the game. The previous weeks, they were concentrating on style points. They're going to go back to concentrating on style points this week. And they're going to be looking ahead to the Houston game. And if those things happen, we have a chance to pull off the upset. I'll say this. If they come in here fired up, I think we could play our best game and they're still going to beat us. But I think if the mental stuff happens, we'll have a chance to pull the upset. Look, don't kid yourself. Cincinnati is an elite football team. They're not in the top five for no reason. They didn't beat a great Notre Dame team for no reason. So don't kid yourself into thinking Cincinnati's trash. Cincinnati might come in here and beat the snot out of us. And if they do, don't get down on the Pirates. Don't go, well, we didn't or don't even get the mountain game now. Cincinnati blew us out. We're pretenders, not contenders. I don't want to hear that crap because Cincinnati is a great football team. Look, if we win this football game, it will take an epic effort of gigantic proportions, and it'll probably be because Cincinnati does not play their best football game. If Cincinnati plays their best game and we beat them, then good God Almighty. But I just don't see that happening. But I do think we can win it.
I agree with you. I think if we can get it into the second half where we're either winning or the game is very close, all the pressure shifts to Cincinnati. We're playing with house money. It almost reminds me of March Madness, right? When you get to like, you know, the round of 32 and you see like, you know, Villanova's playing Weber State. You know, and Weber State takes a 5-point lead late, and now all the pressure shifts to the favorite.
Yep.
Same situation here. We're playing with house money, man. So if we can get this game into the second half, all the pressure shifts to Cincinnati. They might tighten up. And as my good friend and former coach Jeff Connors reminded me this week, we were messaging back and forth. He reminded me, you know, football is a game of emotion. And if you're ready to play, you can. The great thing about college football is you can beat just about anybody on any given day if you're emotionally ready to play. So you never know what's going to happen. And it's right in front of us. The opportunity is right there.
Yeah, you know, the great thing about this game is we've got a situation where you're talking about emotions. I'm glad you said that, Matt. I think the biggest difference, but you alluded to earlier about Holton and with Coach, but, you know, basically a lot of these games that we've been dealing with are 50-50 games. And most certainly when you look at this particular game, the Navy game, I felt was that way. And, you know, who wants it? And we could come out there flat as a pancake, you know.
No way.
You know, I think we will. But no, I mean, anything's possible.
No, we're not. If anything, we're going to be too fired up when we're making silly mistakes, but it's not going to be, we're not going to be flat.
No way.
It'll be a situation where the emotions are too high, where we may make a silly penalty, like a late hit or, you know, false starts or things like that.
Cincinnati can come out flat, but I don't see any. I mean, I guess anything's possible, but
that's what I was saying.
That would be insanity.
Especially if you can't, hey, Matt, if you can't get up for the Cincinnati game, then you don't need to be playing football, right? They need to take your scholarship.
If you can't get up for the Cincinnati game, you need something a lot stronger than Viagra.
No doubt about it, man. I mean, this is like, I guarantee the players are ready to go right now. Like, they've been waiting for this opportunity. They're jacked up. They'll be ready to go. And I do think that, you know, to Bubba's point, you know, I think sometimes you can get too jacked up. And I think you have to guard against that a little bit and keep an even keel in these type of games. But, yeah, they'll be ready to go. I have no doubt.
And look at all the games you played in, Matt, with the fact of, that you guys were in the 90s giant killers. We don't have to rattle off all the games you guys won because it would take a lot of time out of the show. But I feel that's something about this team that makes me feel like we're almost there, not quite, because we haven't beat Cincinnati yet. But if they beat Cincinnati, then that's one of the biggest wins, just like what you guys had. That's the feel it has going in, even though it's not this, it's a different era, and I get it. But it has that feel that when I used to enjoy watching you guys play back in the day, because we knew that we had a shot to win the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, we go down to the Orange Bowl and beat Miami. You kidding me? I mean, who would have ever thought that we'd have a shot in that game and so many others? So that's what I'm looking for this week. And the great thing about it is we can do something about as fans where we can pack that place and get it extra, extra, extra loud. Let's make it the loudest game we've had, what, since 2014 with the North Carolina game?
The 2018 game against UNC was pretty loud, but yeah. We need to create a as you guys hear the Christmas clock in the background, probably we need to create an intimidating environment as we take on the Bearcats. The fans knew to do their part. And hey, I'm going to bring up something here that I've been meaning to bring up on the show for several weeks now, and I keep forgetting, and it's random, has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but I happen to think of it, so I'm going to bring it up now. You guys are here in Eastern North Carolina, Kinston, Lenoir County, Snow Hill, Greene County. There's even a box in Greenville at East Carolina. I forget which building on campus, maybe the Allied Health building. I'll have to check on this. But there's about 33 boxes out throughout Eastern North Carolina. Hugs from Harrison. It is a toy fundraiser or a toy drive in honor of a little boy named Harrison who lost his battle with brain cancer a few years ago. I'm good friends with the family. And all the toys are going to go to the James and Connie Maynard Children's Hospital at Vidant there in Greenville. So all the toys will go to sick kids in Eastern North Carolina. So get out there and donate a toy to Hugs from Harrison. Find a box. Like I said, they're throughout Kinston, Snow Hill, Goldsboro, Greenville, anywhere in Eastern North Carolina. If you need to find out where a box is, contact me on Facebook. Hit me up on Messenger, and I'll point you in the right direction.
Is there a website? Quickly, Kyle, and then we'll go move on.
She had Natalie had set up a Facebook page at one point, the first year of it. I don't think the Facebook page is still being ran. I'll ask her tomorrow if there's any presence on social media. But definitely, like I said, there are boxes throughout Eastern North Carolina to donate your toys to Hugs from Harrison. And again, they'll go to the Children's Hospital in Greenville to sick kids that, you know, need to be cheered up. Do what? Okay, there he is. My wife said there is a Hugs from Harrison Facebook page still. So just put it on Facebook.
Bubba, I know that we had a lot of comments, and I wanted to pitch it to you now because we've had a lot of great fans, a lot of people watching and listening to the show. I think it's Matt Semenza. I think they're huge fans of Matt Semenza, and that's why we have our listenership and viewership has gone up immensely. You got some comments for us?
Yeah, we had Bubba Grant chiming in on Facebook and saying Owen Daffer's cool, calm, and collected. Definitely. He's 17 out of 20 on the season now. And you know, to be in such a situation like last night, he came through. And that was the first time he had been attempting a game winner. But other times this year, you know, when he had the timing issue, maybe it was a high snap or it was something of that nature, where the first kick of his Pirate career, the PAT after the Keaton Mitchell touchdown against App State. Remember that PAT was missed. He pushed it right, and Coach Houston said that was a timing issue, but then the only field goal he's missed inside 40 yards was in the rain against South Florida. So he's been the epitome of consistent, and it was pretty cool to have Jake Verity at the game. Like Richard Alsbrook chimed in and said he was
he was
there last night, and that had to be cool for he and Owen to obviously they knew one another from last year, and cool to have Jake in the house for that one. And Richard said, how much clearance did the 54-yarder have? I'd say
like about 3 to 4 yards.
I was going to say 4 or 5 yards. It may have been good from, 57 or 58. It would have been close. But, he nailed it. And he also said, we'll talk more about this on Tuesday, but what is the key to the game against Cincinnati?
Yeah, that's a good question. We need to break it down a little bit before we can really answer those questions. I'll say this. Got to get pressure on their quarterback and stop the run as always. And on offense, they're going to get after Holton. That O-line at times has played really well with pass blocking. At times they haven't. It's been rather hit or miss. They've got to protect Holton this game because Cincinnati can't get after you on defense. And if they get a lot of pressure on Holton, it could be a long day for the Pirates. So that's a big aspect to me is the O-line needs to play well and protect Holton. And Holton can do some of that on his own by continuing to run the ball when the pressure gets to go and pull it down and run it.
Yeah, Matt, you can be too greedy on defense. You can like be too overzealous where you bring the house, you keep bringing the house, and then all of a sudden there's a Tyler Snead catch or there's a – I mean, look at all the weapons. We have the Ryan Jones across the middle. Those tight ends, there's so many weapons on offense. Or even look at Keaton Mitchell, all the passes he's had this year out of the backfield, and Raji actually too is over Raji. But I mean, there's so many different weapons that Holton has. I think for me, what I would say too is Matt, you've got to design plays knowing that Cincinnati is going to come after Holton. Those you were talking about the jet sweep, all those different bubble screens, different things they used to do back in the day when Lincoln Riley was here, those kind of things, a couple seconds, get rid of the ball. I think one of the criticisms that Holton's had is that he's held on to the ball too long. So definitely you can't do that on Friday afternoon. You can't hold on the ball knowing that they're going to probably bring the house a lot. That's my take. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a great take, Dave. I totally agree. And I really want to go back and watch Cincinnati. Great thing about this ESPN3 app is that I can go back and watch any college football game, which is awesome. And you can almost scout these teams. But so I'm not really too prepared to talk about what the keys are yet. But I'll say the one thing that really jumps out to me is we're going to need to be really physical because Cincinnati is a tough, big, physical team. And they don't play around on the line of scrimmage. So we're going to need to be really dialed in and physical up front on both sides to have a chance.
I agree with you, Matt. And I made that point to somebody yesterday that, brought up the SMU score. I think it was my buddy James. And he brought up the SMU score. And I said, yeah, SMU's a good football team, but we're a whole lot more physical than SMU. So that probably bodes a little bit better for us against Cincinnati than SMU against Cincy. Something I want to bring up about Owen Daffer, kind of from a tongue-in-cheek laughing standpoint. First time I really saw an interview with Owen. Owen got a nice little smiling face, a little bit of a baby face, that curly hair, kicked that game-winning field goal. How many phone numbers do you think he got since he's been back in Greenville? I mean, Jiminy Christmas. You make that game-winning field goal like that, you're the big man on campus now, so to speak, and then you got those curly locks and that baby face, that little smile. I mean, Owen right now is probably, if he ain't got a girlfriend, holy crap, coach, you might want to tell him to you might want to keep your eye on him. He might be tired come Friday.
Wait till after the Cincinnati game.
Exactly.
Wait till Friday night.
There you go.
That's all I'm saying. Bubba, I know you have we have some more comments that we wanted to do.
Yeah, when I made the trip to Annapolis, one of the guys I went with was Mike Radford from Wilson, and Mike, about 9:30 chimed in and said, don't forget to credit and praise our fans who never got down when there was some calls, like the kickoff return, then also that 90-yard touchdown where we did not cover the pitch man, was kind of a common theme throughout the night, but But yeah, our Pirate fans were great. I'm not sure exactly how many we had, but the ones that were there, and it was a good contingent, and were extremely loud. And you can check it out on our YouTube channel. You have some post game celebration where the team came over, and you know, the ECU chants, "Let's go Pirates," etc., were extremely loud. And you know, Washington D.C. And you know, throughout that region, there's a pretty good contingent. And then I saw a lot of folks that I typically see in Greenville. A lot of familiar faces that made the drive up from Eastern North Carolina.
Hey, yeah, by the way, guys.
Go ahead, Dave.
I just had a quick question because Kyle, Bubba, Matt, if we happen to go to the Military Bowl, Richard Osbrook and the Ponds, or the Powells, I know the Ponds and definitely Richard Osbrooks, they were at a restaurant. I saw a Facebook post they did, and those crabs looked amazing. Richard, can you tell us what restaurant that was? So maybe the four of us before the Military Bowl or after the Military Bowl, we can have I love seafood, so that looked pretty good.
I went to a place in Baltimore once and got crabs. I'll tell you all about it off there.
Well, you went there. You went there.
Obviously great seafood, guys. If we have a chance to go to Annapolis, Matt, that was a late reaction for Matt. He just got it. Obviously great seafood in Maryland. They're known for their crab cakes. They like to put Obey on everything. So a lot of good seafood in the Maryland area. And I meant to ask Home Slice, the play guy for Navy. I meant to ask him about this. Home Slice, either one. There's a famous restaurant in Annapolis. I cannot think of the name of it. Somebody comment with it, or Bubba, maybe you know. They're known for giant milkshakes. And when I say giant milkshakes, I mean like,
oh man,
a couple of liters of milkshake.
Wow.
And they do challenges if you can drink the whole shake, and then they have one if you can drink the whole shake plus a burger. I cannot think of the name of it. If you can comment below with it, I'll Google it. I want to say maybe Ann Ruth's. I could be making that up, but it's a well-known place in Annapolis. I've seen it on Food Network.
Kyle, I think I may have your answer. I took Coach Ruff's advice and Googled it up. Is it Chicken Ruth's Deli?
Chicken Ruth's Deli. You got it. That is it. And they have giant milkshakes.
And Matt, we need to get those. I love a good milkshake.
Yeah, I'll dial up my buddy Bobby Weaver, former quarterback. He's very much up to speed on the food scene in the greater Maryland area. So he'll be able to recommend some good spots for us too.
Now, Bobby Weaver and then Andrew Bays, were they products or aren't they products of DeMatha?
They are, and they love DeMatha. And they're big on the Maryland food scene, so they'll be able to fill us in, no doubout.
Also, we have an offensive lineman from there as well, Bobby Parker. Is that you remember that name? We had an offensive lineman from DeMatha named Bobby Parker. I thought
was Parker from DeMatha. He might have been from DeMatha.
Maybe he wasn't.
We definitely had. There was definitely somebody else. Ben Thomas, I want to say was his name. Is that right?
Yeah, Ben Thomas was the tight end. I'm not sure. I didn't recall him being from DeMatha, but I definitely remember Ben Thomas. He was. I'm trying to remember. He's.
I know. Rob Thomas. Zach
Thomas from the Miami Dolphins.
Hey Kyle, I know Rob Thomas.
Rob Thomas, a musician. What band is that?
Matchbox 20.
Matchbox 20. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he played for ECU.
No, he did not. He played for Matchbox 20. Anybody you know from the Maryland area, yeah, seafood restaurants would be recommendations would be greatly appreciated. I know there's a lot to choose from, and
Richard has that up in the comments, by the way, Bubba. If you can put that Boatyard Bar and Grill, and I was wrong. Britt and Diane Pons are friends, and they obviously love our show. Thank goodness for them. They said that was they went. He just stayed at home. O'Leary's is my favorite for crab cakes. Thank you, William. Bubba Grant.
All right.
Bubba, talking to Bubba.
Can't go wrong with a good crab cake, fellas.
No, and Maryland obviously is known for their crab cakes and their blue crab in general. So if that's the bowl game we're going to, it should be at least some damn good food to be had. And you know, who knows? I'm not. You know, I know everybody is 100% convinced we're going to that bowl. I'm not. I think it's a better than not chance that we will. But if Cincinnati loses that championship game to Houston, they got to go somewhere, and would not be surprised if they end up there if that happens. So it'll be interesting to see. I think if you want to go ahead, I don't know. I'm going to keep that to myself. But just go ahead.
Keep your hands to yourself, Kyle.
No. I was gonna give somebody some a little tip on something, but until I do this myself, I'm not gonna tell too many other people about it publicly.
Okay,
Dave, we have a couple more comments.
Go for
Mike,
it.
Mike Radford chimes in again on YouTube, saying this week's Pirate Walk, which would be at should be at 1 o'clock because it's 3:30 kickoff. It's always 2.5 hours before. Pirate fans, make sure you get over there to the Pirate Promenade, as they call it, there, the former white lot adjacent to the third baseline, or, you know, right field line, I should say, the ECU baseball indoor hitting facility. Right there is where the buses will drop the team off at 1 o'clock. So, you know, get over there about 5 or 10 to 1, you should be in good shape. And, you know, if you have young kids, you know, and the pep band, cheerleaders, or not pep band, but, you know, a part of the marching Pirates will be there in addition to the cheerleaders and so forth. So it's a lot of fun, especially if you have young kids. And I know Coach Houston, I want to say it was the Tulane game, there was a pretty good turnout for the Pirate Walk.
Yes.
Coach Houston was very complimentary of Pirate fans for that. And let's see.
And by the way, the weather for Friday, looking like a high of 55, low somewhere in the 30s. So, yeah, it'll be a nice, nice cool day, but not too cold. So just wear a hoodie and some gloves and a ball cap, and y'all to be fine.
And Kyle, Richard asks you, what does your gut tell you on attendance Friday? Have you heard anything from the ticket office?
I have not heard anything from the ticket office, no. You know, I would imagine – ticket sales will pick up this week. I it would be a pure guess on my part, Richard. I'd like to say we're going to get between 40 and 50,000 in there, but if you asked me today, I would guess 37, 38,000. I think it's a shame if we don't get at least 40 in there, but students are gone. We have so many Pirate fans that just have not come back, that got aggravated and disgusted with things with Comfort and Montgomery. And they'll come back, but they haven't come back yet. And maybe this will be the week some of them do. Plus, Thanksgiving is always a tough draw. And you got another thing is COVID last year. A lot of people did not get together for Thanksgiving. They didn't travel. So everybody is getting together this year and traveling. So I think getting 40 to 50 in there is going to be a tough task. I hope it happens. But I would say this again, bring people with you. If you're not going to use your tickets, give it to somebody else. Bring family members with you that are in town. Let people have their first experience of Pirate football.
Bring your crazy uncle, Eddie.
Yeah, you got people in the past that maybe have come and visited that weren't interested in going to ECU games. You tell them you're playing Cincinnati and they're a top five team. If they watch college football at all, they know who the Cincinnati Bearcats are this year, and they'll probably want to come. So you're probably going to see a lot of people that we normally don't see at East Carolina games there this week. And but yeah, it'll be interesting. I'd like to know myself. Well, you know, I think tomorrow and Tuesday I was going to tell the tale with ticket sales. You probably ain't going to move too many. You may have some walk up on Friday, but we're probably going to be what we're going to be by Tuesday, if not Wednesday, with ticket sales. And let's hope it's close to 40,000.
Yeah, like you're saying, Kyle, I'd really. Talking about marketing this game to just the average college football fan, you know, that's within a couple hour radius, you know, be it the Tidewater region down in Wilmington, you know, Raleigh-Durham area, you have the chance to drive no more than 2 hours one way to to see a top five team, and you can get a ticket for $15 or maybe less, but $15 tickets. And then, and to all letter winners out there, because I know there's a lot of ECU letter winners, football and otherwise, that listen to this and watch our show. And a lot of close letter winner friends of mine have purchased tickets for $10 a piece to this game. So that would be something that would obviously apply to you, Matt, if you're able to make it down.
Yeah, and I agree with you guys. And I'd also encourage people, too, if you can't go, the tickets, there's some great packages for this game. So go ahead and buy tickets and donate them. You know, we donate tickets. Let's give back. You know, let's, you know, if you want to try to give your tickets to first responders or military, people in the community. I mean, what a great opportunity to give back. And definitely this is a chance where if you can't go to the game, buy tickets and let's get people in the stadium. I think everybody needs to chip in here.
Yeah. Guys, do you know offhand, one question I had, and I realized we're deep into the show and I forgot to ask you guys. One thing I want to see is there, if we know there's not going to be, well, it's not going to be great, obviously, but the student section with the Boneyard, can we sell those tickets to the public if they're not, if there's slack with, you know, knowing that day or
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah.
It seems like
that's what I would do.
Seems like I recall something like that being done in the past, you know, for a situation like this where students weren't on campus. You know, as a student, you have until this time and date, you know, to pick it up. Otherwise, they go on public sale, but I could be wrong on that.
Can you imagine that? They get a lot of rowdy people down there at that end, the scoreboard end, the Boneyard end, and have a whole bunch of Pirate fans just really loud. And that end zone would be fabulous.
And to your point, Dave, as far as packing the lower level, I do know that a lot of those letter winner tickets that I referenced are, in fact, in the lower level. So it's not like we're selling nosebleed seats for $10 to letter winners, because the seats that are available in the lower level are going to these letter winners and doing everything we can to put people close to the field and make a lot of noise.
What about our ugly sweaters? Wear ugly sweaters.
Oh, well, that never became an official promotion. So we're going to give up on that one. I'll be wearing pirate gear. You can determine if it's ugly or not based on your taste, of my taste. But God mighty, people need to come. And if you're a pirate fan and you're sitting there Friday and you're within a couple hours from Greenville, unless there's, you know, some kind of circumstances where you can't make it, if you by choice sit on your ass and watch it on ABC, then shame on you, man. You need to be there. Now, there's reasons people can't come. You know, and if you have a legitimate reason not to come, then okay, great. But if you can be there and you just say, I'm just going to stay home and watch it on ABC, then what's wrong with you, man? What happened to you? You're not the man you used to be.
are we going to take away the man card, Kyle?
Oh, we might need to. If you're sitting there, look, if you still got the boo-boo face over Jeff Confer and Coach Montgomery, but if you still got the boo-boo, look, we all love Ruffin, and we were all mad he was fired. But it's time to move on, man. It's time to move on. It's time to go onward and upward, and let's pack this place out and win or lose. Like I said, this is playing with house money. Hell, think about it this way also. Even if we lose, we haven't had a home game since we beat Memphis and Navy. We need to go thank those kids and celebrate what they've accomplished up to this point prior to the Cincinnati game. We need to give those guys a standing ovation for what they've done against Memphis and against Navy, one of those two close ball games. So from that standpoint, even if we lose to Cincinnati, I want to go tell those kids thank you. And Matt, I'm sure you feel the same way. You were a former player that you know, I've had to put up with this bull crap. And these kids are the kids that have brought this football program back to respectability.
And it's senior day. Hello, it's senior day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And for those people that I find it odd that, you know, I know there are a lot of people that hold a grudge against Confer and Montgomery, and I get it. Confer was abysmal. Let's call it what it is. But at some point, you got to move on. And if nothing else, if you're still that bitter against the program, you know, in the Pirate Club or whoever it might be, put it aside and support the kids. I mean, enough is enough. Agree. So I agree with you, man. It's time to move on.
Yeah.
What do you need?
Nobody hated Confer more than me. But what I did, you know, I didn't run and hide. You're in my house, bitch. I'm running you out of my house. I'm not leaving. And that's what we did. And he's gone now.
Yeah. At some point, you got to say he's gone. And the previous coach is gone. The previous chancellor is gone. We have great coaches in now. We have a winning season. We have an amazing team. You look at the trajectory of the program, Matt, we talk about all the time how great it is. I mean, so there's no reason to hold a grudge when if we had the same athletic director and the same coaches, there are a lot of us that are friendlies that would probably stop going to the game because we're losing 64-17 every week and, you know, having 100 that could have been scored on us in that Memphis game in 2017 and where the players were quitting. So there's things like that, that if that were still going on, it's one thing, but when you see the program is doing well, I just don't understand, you know, during that time, I understood the people being bitter and upset. I just don't understand.
There were some games I didn't go to a lot of games during that time. I kept buying season tickets. I just didn't go, but no, you need to be there, man. And like I said, unless you, there's a legitimate reason for you not being there, you need to be there. And, I hope, like I said, we can get 40,000 in there, but I think anything less than 36,000-37,000 is an absolute friggin' embarrassing joke.
Yeah, especially when we're a team that we prided ourselves so many years, Matt and guys, for being the top of the group of five, if you will, for attendance every year.
Yeah,
and you know, that stuff like that, that we're proud of. And here's the thing: if we are an elite program in my eyes, we are a big school. When it comes to football, then if we say we are, then that's what we need to be, you know. And with the indoor practice facility, we have a winning season now. I'm not getting off of that. We have a winning season. We have the bowl game. Please go ahead and make that announcement. I mean, this is the perfect time now to make an announcement. The euphoria after the damn Navy. You have a kid that makes a 54-yarder to beat Navy. I mean, what else do you want? You know, like even the administration, what do we have to do to get that announcement made? We need that announcement made to go ahead. That helps, guys, that helps recruiting. Mm-hmm. And another thing that helps recruiting is our fan base not to be beating up on Holton anymore. We could lose Holton, by the way, guys. Holton may be gone because of our fan base.
I think Houston's in the process of re-recruiting Holton Ehlers right now. And I think Pirate fans are starting to appreciate Holton a little more. And I hope Holton comes back next year and tries to win a conference championship, because that's a very realistic goal for next year. And you know, I'll be chanting "Thank you, Holton" as he walks on senior day. Or maybe one more year. When Holton walks through that tunnel on senior day, guys, with his mom, I don't know if Morgan's going to be walking with him or not, because he'll be doing PA duties. But when he does his senior day walk, let's see if everybody in the stand can chant one more year. One more year. Let's get the chant going and make Holton feel appreciated.
Yeah. You know, think about this. If I'll say this and move on. If all the comments I've heard privately and publicly that's happened to Holton, if you'll do that to a local kid who's a Pirate, imagine what you would do to a Matt Semenza from Jersey, or the kids that we don't even know about. So I just think it's crazy that you would do that to a local kid who is a Pirate. So
I think a lot of the personal attacks that were over the top on Twitter were from people more his age. I don't think it was from folks our age. I think it was from other students. I mean, the real personal attacks, at least I hope to hell, it was from people more his age. If you got people in their 30s and 40s attacking a quarterback personally on Twitter, you might need to get a life. You might need to find some other hobbies besides Pirate football. You might need to go on a date. There's several things you might need to do.
Don't be a mom's basement. No, but anyway, enough said there. Guys, do you have anything before we go? One more thing I want to ask you guys. Do you watch any holiday movies yet? I'm not talking about the Hallmark Channel, Matt.
Yeah. And I had a follow-up. Yeah, I watched Christmas Vacation for probably the third time this year again tonight. It keeps coming on TNT. So I did watch Christmas Vacation for the third time. Guys, holiday special alert. For some unknown reason, Rudolph is coming on tomorrow night on CBS. I never remember Rudolph being aired this early. Yes, being aired this early. And they'll show it again in December. But for whatever reason, I've never seen it on a Monday night either. It seems like it's always on a Tuesday. But Rudolph tomorrow night on CBS, if you're like me, I've watched that movie every year or that special every year my whole life. So I'll be watching it again to see if Rudolph gets to God Santa's sleigh and rescue the island of Misfit Toys Misfits. And does Hermie get to be a dentist? You know, will Hermie get to be a dentist this year? You know, so tomorrow night. Matt, have you watched any holiday movies yet?
I haven't watched any movies yet, but I did put up my tree last night. And if any of my neighbors don't like it, I'm just going to tell them to get a life. Because the way, you know, I like to put it up early, and I, you know, that's just the way it is. So the tree went up last night, the family decorated it, and I'll definitely catch. I would have to, if Rudolph is on CBS, that's just kind of like an old school staple. Yep. I think I'd probably have to have it on, you know, maybe in the background a little bit.
Yeah speaking of, I wanted to follow up with that, Dave. A very similar question. Bubba, did you want to chime in? Have you watched any holiday movies yet? Bubba has not. Oh, okay. I wanted to ask you guys this holiday-related question, and maybe Bubba will participate. I don't know. Maybe Stacy's starting to get off the podcast. Favorite Thanksgiving dish, guys?
I was going to ask you guys.
We'll start with Dave. Dave, favorite Thanksgiving dish?
I would have to say I'm a huge fan, and people always say, I would say it's a top. Well, if you count stuffing, but I would say probably green bean casserole is one of my favorites. Or okay, so you count that? Oh God, that's like,
well, why the hell wouldn't you count stuffing?
I'm just debating on. I would say there was probably a tie between those two, or my and maybe a distant second would be I love yams, so sweet potatoes. So
nice.
What about you guys,
Matt?
So I'm actually more of a ham guy than I am the turkey. So we get it like a honey baked ham. You know, it's glazed. Yeah. It's awesome. So I'm a big fan of that. And then I like to wash it down later with some apple crumb pie. Nice apple crumb pie with some vanilla ice cream, you know, to end the night with a high note.
Okay. I dig the ham. That's, you know, we'll either have both turkey and ham, or ham is definitely Christmas. Your favorites, God almighty. If it's a deep fried turkey, then I definitely get down with the turkey, but, otherwise my favorites, I love a good sweet potato casserole. Also big on the green bean casserole, homemade mac and cheese, love cornbread dressing, love homemade mashed potatoes. I'm pretty much going to name everything. corn pudding. I don't know if you guys ever had corn pudding.
Oh yes. My grandma used to make that.
Corn pudding is fantastic. Love collards. Always like to have collards on Thanksgiving. Matt, you ever had collards?
I had collards when I lived in North Carolina. I haven't had them in years, but I like them. I do like them.
Hey, yep, by the way, guys, Bubba's chiming in. He likes sweet potato casserole with crusted pecan topping.
So yes, sir. I'm with Bubba on that one. And then we'll go to desserts, and then we'll get the hell out of here. Favorite Thanksgiving dessert. Matt already mentioned his. He got his in with the beginning. God almighty, you know, I love a chocolate pecan pie. My wife makes pecan pie, but she doesn't do a chocolate one. Chocolate pecan pie. Also a big fan of pumpkin pie, lemon meringue pie.
The whole damn dessert table.
You're pretty much, man. Pretty much. I'm a fat boy. Dave, what about you?
Oh my God. The pecan pie. Absolutely. 100%. That's my go-to on for dessert. We'll let you, Matt.
Oh, you already said apple crumb.
You know, I don't know if I ever had a pecan pie. You guys would probably throw me off the show for that one. I don't know if I've had that. I might need
You've never had pecan pie? Are you serious?
I don't know if I have, honestly. I really don't.
I'll tell you what, God. Man. Okay. I can tell you where you can get it up there. To be sure, y'all have Cracker Barrel up there?
There's a Cracker Barrel in Massachusetts right over the border, like about 45 minutes from here. Yeah. I've never been. So it's a little far.
This time of year, Cracker Barrel does pecan pies, and they're actually really good. They do chocolate and regular, and I think they also do an apple pecan. I'd recommend trying the traditional pecan and the chocolate pecan. And if you come down east, I guarantee you we'll hook you up with some pecan pie if you make the game Friday.
Bubba's all saying right, pumpkin pie, good. Pumpkin cheesecake, chocolate pecan pie are all his favorites. So
Bubba's also a chocolate pecan pie fan. Great. And I also can get down with the pumpkin cheesecake. So yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Cheesecake is one of them. Hey, Matt, Carnegie, speaking of cheesecake, Carnegie Deli has some of the best cheesecake.
Carnegie Deli is closed.
Closed now. Okay.
Yep. Carnegie Deli is closed.
Well, they were one of my, that back, I went there. The last time I went to the city was 2001. But they had after, 9/11, but they had the, that cheesecake there was some of the best I've ever had in my life. So in the city.
Yeah. You get some great cake in New York City, no doubt.
Dave, guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shauna and I and Archer Fontarelli.
Wow. Happy days, huh?
Nobody gets where that's from. If you can comment down in the comment section, what that line is from, we will send you a Sports Objective hat. If you will comment during the duration of the show before we sign off what that line is from, we will send you a Sports Objective hat.
All right. By the way, I think Hibachi Gamer, we put that up there, but I want to give them a shout out, Richard and Johnny Robertson. Hey, by the way, one more thing, guys, before we get out of here. Johnny Robertson, a little bit ago, was talking about the different bowl predictions. And I want to put this up real quick. Hold on. It's going haywire on me. There we go. His latest prediction today has EC playing BC at the Fenway Bowl for Matt. It's actually for Matt. So you don't have to do a lot of driving, Matt.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys about these bowl projections just so people know. They're just people's guesses. These people, like Palm there, he's from CBS, that guy. I know who he is. He sucks. But, so if these are just guesses, I mean, these people like Virginia UCF in Indianapolis, Palm is just guessing. He doesn't have any inside knowledge of who these bowls are going to take.
Yeah.
The military bowl would much rather have East Carolina than UCF, in my opinion.
What about East Carolina, Virginia Tech, or Carolina over the weekend is bowl eligible? I know Richard Allsburg, there's other Pirate fans. They want to play UNC. Yeah. And the military bowl. So, I mean, I don't care as long as we go to a bowl, but ticket-wise, UNC would travel well, and you have East Carolina.
UNC is going to do everything they can not to play East Carolina in the military bowl. They're going to tell the ACC to send them anywhere else. So, I doubt that's going to happen.
I'll tell you guys, there was one projection I saw that had us and Florida State. Now, that one had a little
excitement
to me. Yep.
Wow, that would be awesome.
Man, I'll tell you, that would be something that would excite me, and I'm sure it would excite the entire fan base to have an opportunity to play the Noles in a cold weather bowl game. I would take that.
How about those guys in 1983 that got robbed out of a game? You don't think they would love to play for our team, current team, to play the Noles?
I kind of would like Virginia Tech. I kind of wish Virginia, if we're going to play the military bowl, I kind of wish Virginia Tech would upset Virginia, and I'll tell you why. And this is gonna be a little cheesy, but I'll take any advantage we can get. Their coach is fired. All their assistant coaches are going to be looking for jobs elsewhere, so they are not going to be interested in preparing a team for a bowl. Anytime you have a coach get fired, you're going to have a bunch of guys that decide to sit out the bowl game. You have a bunch of guys enter the transfer portal. So you'll probably have a very poorly prepared team. And there's nothing I'd like better than to blow out a Virginia Tech team in a bowl game. So I hope the Hokies find a way to beat UVA and we have an unprepared Hokie team in the Military Bowl.
No doubt. In fact, our good buddy, hey, B-Pays, Virginia versus ECU. If Virginia wins next week, if Virginia Tech wins, they're coming. We are
what
the military
record right now.
What's that?
He said if Virginia wins next week, what is UVA's record right now?
I think they have, don't they have 5 wins, guys? They're like one.
Yeah, I saw that also. Okay. So UVA is already bowl eligible. So I guess it could be either way. UVA win or lose could end up in the Military Bowl. I'd rather play Virginia Tech. I think UVA would be a tougher out.
Virginia Tech. Bubba's saying Virginia Tech is 5-6. I thought that was the case.
Yes.
So they're right outside.
Yes, they got to beat UVA. They got to beat UVA. Yeah, we knew that. I was asking about UVA.
Yeah, UVA is 6-5. So that's going to be you want to talk about this weekend? This is going to be cool, guys. A lot of great games. I'm going to go out. And by the way, I should probably save this, but I got one more thing, guys. I'm going to say it right now. I know I'm crazy. Hey, by the way, Kyle.
There are two Bubbas now. There are two Bubbas. Oh, there's back to one Bubba. I was scared for a moment.
I normally would not predict this. And yes, I've taken my medication. I'm going Michigan all the way over Ohio State this coming week. I don't know why I feel that. Normally, I would never pick them in a million years. I'm not really a Michigan guy. I really don't care about those two schools at all. But I'm going Michigan all the way. I just have a funny feeling about that game. People, I think.
Well,
think
Ohio State looked really good Saturday.
I know. But it's one of those things. It's been a weird year, and they beat them a lot. I just have a funny feeling about that game. But we'll talk more about that. I don't know why. I really don't care about high schools. It's not like I have a vested interest in it other than being a college football fan. All right, guys, do you have anything before we go?
Hey, just one quick thing I wanted to mention. I just wanted to give props to Tyler Snead, man. This kid, he's 5 foot nothing. He's 100 and nothing, soaking wet. He is a gamer. He is, for his size and what he brings to the table, he's one of the tougher players to ever come through East Carolina. And that catch he made late in the game yesterday, at his size, to be able to go up and pull that down, just a hell of a catch. So incredible job by him. Just really appreciate what he's able to do at his size.
No question about it.
Yeah, he's awesome.
What else can you say? By the way, guys, I know Bubba has that graphic. Let's put that up again about where you can get your tickets for the Cincinnati game. We want a lot of people. Cincinnati's on the clock, and that's 3:30 on Friday on ABC, folks. 1-800-DIAL-ECU. Do it the old-fashioned way, or you can go to ecupirates.com. Get your tickets. Tell your friends to be there. Let's surprise the nation, not only by our attendance, let's surprise the nation by beating Cincinnati. That would be epic, and certainly – I don't know if I could sleep. How about you, Matt? Guys, I don't think I could sleep Friday night if we do win that game.
Yeah, if we win that game, I'll tell you what, it'll be a party in Greenville. It'll be a party on the field at Dottie Ficklin Stadium. I can't even put it into words what it'll mean if we could somehow win that football game. It would be one of the greatest moments in Pirate football history, and in terms of what the team is ranked, it would be the biggest win in Pirate football history. So,
Hey guys. Oh, Rara's asking a great question there.
I think we will after the bowl. I think if we win Friday and then go win a bowl game, I think we have a good chance of being in the top 25.
That would put us at 9-4 on the year, one of the best of all time. One of the best teams of all time to be 9-4 and to finish that. So no doubt about that. All right, guys, we're running a little bit long, but as always, when you win like we did against the team we did, the way we did it, it's worth talking about. And I know I could talk to you guys for hours, but we're going to get out of here. Any final comments?
One more comment about a bowl, and then I'll shut up, I promise. Pays mentioned Auburn and the Birmingham Bowl. I saw Missouri projected for the Gasparilla Bowl against Memphis. I wouldn't mind playing Missouri down in Tampa in the Gasparilla Bowl. So just another bowl to throw out there.
All right. Well, appreciate everybody so much. And by the way, before I forget, our good friend, we totally forgot, Kevin Walker from L&K Custom Homes. I want to give him a shout out. Licensed general contractor. Give him a call, 336-688-8461. Kevin's one of the best athletes ever to play. Speaking of that 83 team with Florida State, you want to talk about a great guy. You want to talk about a guy that does great work. Just look at his Facebook page. It's unbelievable the job that he's doing. I know he's in the Tried area from the Greensboro. I believe he lives in Greensboro, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, give him a call, 336-688-8461. L&K Custom Homes, they are the title sponsor of the Pirate Football Playback. We appreciate everything you do. And by the way, also, fans, I want to remind you, like our Facebook page, you can follow us on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Yeah. And you can like actually subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got a lot of people doing that now, and we appreciate that very much.
And tell somebody, if you enjoy the Sports Objective, share it with them. Go copy a link from YouTube. That's probably the best way to do it, and share it with them and say, hey, check these guys out. This is what they do. They talk Pirate Athletics, and we're on Facebook. We're on YouTube, and if you prefer listening audio only, like a lot of folks do, we are still available on all major podcast platforms, from Apple Podcasts to TuneIn Radio and all points in between. But share it with somebody. Let people know about us. And probably, like I said, the best way to do that is to share a YouTube link with them and say, hey, check these guys out. And we sure would appreciate it.
All right. Until next time. Again, Pirates with a big victory. East Carolina 38, Navy 35. That sounds so good. Thanks to Owen Daffer for making my weekend a very special one. And I wish it would never end. All right. Until next time, you've been watching the Pirate Football Playback and listening to it right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. Go Pirates.
How about those damn Pirates? Scholarship.